Amen. I'll tell you what. I'm glad this thing ain't all based down here. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved and got a little bit of heaven down here. But I'll tell you what. It ain't nothing compared to what we're going to have one day. Amen.
Sunday school lesson he brought this morning, you missed a blessing. It was really, really good. I have a message on my heart tonight, and I know some of y'all you're gonna get mad at me because it's a lot like this morning, but I'm telling you, it's what the Lord put on my heart. I'm sorry. I learned a long time ago to preach what I believe God's laid on my heart. So please, if you're sitting there saying, well, he's just saying that because of me, and he knows that I'm slapped my mom-in-law last week, and that's why he preached on it. No, I don't know that. I wouldn't blame you if you didn't. I have nobody in mind when I'm preaching this. I'm preaching this because the Lord put it on my heart, I believe. And I've learned a long time ago, a preacher is better off to go. Old Jack Hiles used to say, you know, sometimes you'll get in church and you'll be uneasy about a message, and he said, go with what you had planned. Go with what you had planned. Because the devil, he'll push you one way or the other. So let's open the Bible tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Book of Proverbs, chapter 6. And I want to show you something tonight. This is some tough stuff right here, boy. I tell you what, this is some tough stuff. And this is what you will never hear on Christian TV. You will never hear a contemporary church, a no-name brand church, preach a sermon on this. And you will never hear, not being critical, the contemporary music singers write a song about this. I'm going to preach tonight on the subject, seven things that God hates. Seven things that God hates. Are you listening? Everybody listen. Seven things. Now, if God hates something, we better try to stay away from it. You know the Lord is a hater? And I can prove that from the Bible. I'm going to preach a message pretty soon on haters. People on these shirts saying, "Oh, you haters." Well, you're supposed to hate some things. And them people who wear them shirts that say, "I'm a hater." I played ball with a little boy in the gym a few weeks ago, and I said, he had one of them big hater shirts. And I said, "Who you hate? You ain't supposed to hate." I said, "You know who he's supposed to hate?" And he said, "Who?" I said, "The devil." He said, "Uh-huh." Them kids are being taught to hate people that hate them. And that ain't right. You're not supposed to hate somebody just because they hate you. Right? Amen. It's going to get bad, isn't it? Proverbs chapter 6, the Lord's a hater. Look at Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. Proverbs 6 and verse 16. This is what the modern world hates about the Bible. The religious world cannot stand this. The news media absolutely detest what I'm getting ready to read. Proverbs 6:16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Here we go. 17. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now there's seven things God hates. One of them's a look. One of them's a tongue. You know God hates some people's tongue. One of them's a hand. God hates some people's hand. One of them's a heart. God hates some people's heart. And one of them's feet. God hates some people's feet. And two of them are people. There's two people in the world God hates. One's a false witness that speaks lies, and another's he that soweth discord among brethren. If a person gets on a witness stand and speaks lies to try to get a crook out of court, God hates that person. If a man goes in a church and calls somebody and stirs up trouble in a church, the Bible says God hates him. Now, y'all don't believe that because you're not a real Bible believer. I don't have a bit of problem with that. Some of you are sitting there saying, "You've been brainwashed into this." But no, God don't hate nobody. He sure does. He said, "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I what? Hated." You believe the Bible, or are you just a contemporary, quote, fill in the blank, go along with the world kind of a worldly Christian? I believe the Bible. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. You say, well, in the Greek, the young Greek, it meant he loved him and hated him. And you say, well, they changed that in the new Bible. I know, because they don't believe the Bible to start with. You say, well, I thought God loves everybody. He does. You say, well, you said he hated some people. He does. You say, well, you said he loves some people. He loves everybody. You said he hates some people. He does. Don't you know you can love somebody and hate them? You mad? Son, the light come on then, didn't it? And y'all went, you can love them and hate them. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows you can love somebody and hate them. I don't know if it's, I could just kill them. But I love you. You know, see, that's what God meant. That's what God meant. Now look here. Let's go over these tonight. This is what drives people crazy. This is what people make the Bible call hate literature. I'm going to preach a message on haters pretty soon. And we're going to talk about all this hate and stuff. And the problem with these haters is the only people they hate is the people that don't like them. They
You shouldn't be a hater, but you shouldn't hate the wrong things. You ought to hate the things God wants you to hate. Now tonight, let's go over these tonight, and let's look at these. Here we go. He said a proud look. A proud look. The Bible talks a lot about pride. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me tonight. The Bible has a lot to say about pride. Pride is one of the worst sins that we can commit. Pride is one of the wickedest things, and Christians are absolutely eat up with it. I know preachers that are so filled with pride. I've been to preachers' meetings when they'll walk in like, here I am. It's just all over. You know what that Bible said? Bible said God hates a proud look. Did you know, ladies, the Lord hates it when you come strutting in like you are Miss America. Here I am. Everybody, look how beautiful I am, and look how I'm dressed. And the Bible said God hates a proud look. Now, if He's blessed you with beauty, if He's blessed you with nice clothes, and if He's blessed, I don't think we're not much danger of that around here. We don't have a church built. I mean, bless God, we might as well admit it. I mean, they ain't hunting us down and put us on the front of magazines around here. That's for sure. But some people think they're pretty and they ain't pretty. Hey, some guy, I've seen them boys come in, 17 years old, and come in with their Air Apostle shirts on and come in. Got that little knot sticking out there, look like a little egg off of a hen egg. And look at like, here I am, buddy. I am the bad. I look a stud right here. Well, you know what the Bible says about that? God hates that. Now, I don't believe we're supposed to come in with false humility. I don't believe we're supposed to come crawling in like this right here. And then say, I'm humble. That ain't what God wants. But you know what I'm talking about? A proud look. A proud look. You know what it is? It's that Hollywood. It's that movie star. It's that I'm it. I'm better than other people. Look at me. I'm special. Bring out the band when I come in. The Bible said God hates that. Now I'm going to tell you, you know what I always told my girls? I used to tell my girls when they was little. I said, listen, you ain't no better than nobody in this world. Nobody. You ain't better than nobody in the world. You're my kids. You're the preacher's kids. Everybody knew my kids and Marion as the preacher's girl. That's one of them castle girls. Everybody knew them as the preacher's kid. And I told them, you ain't no better than nobody else. And I told them, you ain't no worse than nobody else. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. They ain't no big eyes and little you. Brother, God don't bless pride. God can't bless pride. God don't honor pride. God will never, ever bless a person or a group or a church that thinks they're it, or they're just a little cut above everybody else. It's sickening. It's despicable in the sight of God. I'm not talking about false humility. I'm not talking about an organization. Oh, I'm so humble. No, you're full of pride. I know people that's proud of how humble they are. They just say, I'm just the humblest one in the church. You know, you're full of the devil. That's right. You're not the humblest one. You're proud of your humility. They say, God crowns with gold, but it will not fit a swollen head. God hates a proud look. God hates a proud look. You better remember this. If you got nice clothes, He give them to you. If you've got talent, God give it to you. Brother, if you've got a nice house and car, it came from Him. I mean, girl, if you're pretty, girls, which I don't have to worry about saying this much, but if you're a pretty girl in here tonight, God gave you your beauty. If you're a strong, handsome young man in here tonight, God gave it to you. And you better remember, He can take it just like that. You better remember where it comes from and honor God and do right, because the Bible said God hates a proud look. Boy, you know, I've been to church meetings, camp meetings, and it'll about make you sick, boy. I tell you, the devil's smart. He'll make a man proud that is not proud. Amen? That's right. You are unqualified to do anything for God if you think you are it. I think some girls, people told them they're pretty so many times it went to their head and they started believing it. Like this one woman, she's looking in the mirror and she's just saying, I am just so beautiful. I don't know. What can I say? I'm just so... And the preacher said, lady, that ain't pride. That's your imagination. Amen. Amen. You ain't half what you think you are. Amen. You're not half. If you think you're so good looking, go in the bathroom by yourself and put a mirror on both sides and look at yourself in the eye. God hates a proud look. Amen. Now I'm going to say secondly tonight, God hates a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. You know, people are some are just chronic, pathetic, pathological, habitual liars. And God hates that. I'm telling you something. I've met people facing on this guy, and he would just make up stuff. Absolutely just make up stuff. I mean, you know, it's human nature when you get backed into a corner. A lot of times a person will lie to save their neck. But this guy, he just tells stuff, you know. He just say, coming down here tonight, man, I had a cousin like that. And he went uptown one night. He and Marion came down here from Ohio. And he came down here and he told us, he said he'd come home. And he had scratched all over right here. And one of his eyes was beating right here. And he told us, he said, man, there's two boys in Marion. He said, I was coming down today. He said, I had a coke like this right here. And he described it all perfect. He said, there's one, two of them come at me like this. And they come at me like that. And one of them said something. And I cussed him. He said, one of them swung at me. He said, I took the coke and threw it in his face. And I hit the other like that. And then they both jumped on me. And then cocked him. And I mean, he told us off. He got on somebody's motorcycle and wrecked it. And every bit of that was a lie. And it wasn't even no use to tell that lie. I mean, why don't you say I rode a motorcycle and wrecked it? He just made it up. I'm going to tell you something here tonight. If you just make up stuff and tell it, God hates your tongue. You're a liar. You're a liar. God hates a lying tongue, and nobody thinks that. Like I said, I don't guess, is anybody in here never told a lie? Is anybody in here that's never told a lie? Okay, don't raise your hand, because that's the next one right there. We all have, and I'm ashamed of it. I'm telling you, they said, there's men that have come in and just lie to their wife. Where you been? I got behind a slow truck. That gets old after about 35 times. A slow truck. There's a train coming across the railroad track, and I sat there forever. Some guy at the store had a flat tire, and I had to go get him some fixing flat and helped him. Missed 14 Sundays in a row. My clock didn't go off. 14 Sundays in a row. More alarm clocks don't go off on Sunday morning than any other day of the year. And all God's people said, amen. How come it's always something? How come you can't just tell the blessed truth once in a while? Say, I'm sorry. Say, I'm a no-count, low-down, good-for-nothing dog. Don't be shot. Well, I gotta do it. Amen. Bible said a lying tongue. James chapter 3 and verse 8 said, the left tongue is full of deadly poison. It's like a serpent. And you know, gossip in the church. I know people start gossip. I know people in churches who don't like somebody and absolutely make up something on them. And start around and tell this one and tell that one and tell this one and tell that one and tell this one and tell that one and tell this one and tell that one. I know a girl went to school. With some other girls. This is where you better really watch it. If you're a girl, lady, between 25 and 45, you know, that's a dangerous time of life. Between 25 and 45. Because suddenly, you look around and you think, well, I'm not making any money. I don't have no education. I wasted my life on this jerk. He ain't never going to do nothing for me. We're probably going to divorce. I need to go to school and get me some training. There's where your trouble comes. I'm not saying that's wrong. It could help. But you go to school and you get in cosmetology or you get in dermatology, or whatever it was Corey was in, or you get in some kind of tology, and you get in this kind of tology, and that kind of you, and you're going to school with about 30 crazy women just like you that all they do is sit around and watch stupid stuff on TV, and ain't none of them living right, and they're all separated from their husbands, and then you get spring break, and they all want to go to the beach together without their husbands, and then you go to the beach. I know one that went down there and met a guy and run off with him, left her husband, and broke, set up in my house and bawled his eyes out because his wife met some woman, a man, down at the beach, brother, and broke his heart. And I'm telling you, you know where it all started? She came back and said, "You didn't think? No, I didn't do nothing. I know another man bawled his eyes out." Actually, this was the same man. Two wives did him like that. And so it did. And brother, she kept saying, "I'm here, I'm there." And when they disappear for a long time and you can't find them, and it's always something, it's always something, it's always something, it's always something, you better get you a private eye. And he did. He said, I said, "Where was you?" She said, "Well, I had to go here," and we say later, "Late the next night, where was you?" "Well, I had to go here, I had to go down there." "Where was you?" "Well, we had to stay over late and we had this test and everything." And he believed that book. Listen, when somebody keeps saying something, 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 they can't be something happening every day, people. And he had her followed, and her and her boyfriend went to Gatlinburg and checked in a motel, and he got it on video. And brought it back and said, "Preacher, I got it on video." Same guy that lost his other wife to the one down at the beach with the girls. The lying, lying, lying tongue. If you're going to be that sorry, you ought to at least have enough decency to divorce somebody and then go find you one if you're going to be that much of a whore. Or whoremonger.
That's right.
Amen, preacher. Amen. Preach it, Brother Danny. Hey, Bible says God hates a lying tongue. And you shouldn't do that. I'm saying you, if you're going to be a sinner, you'll at least have some dignity. Lying tongue. Number three. You know what it says? God hates hands that shed innocent blood. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. God hates hands that kill people and hurt people who are defenseless. God hates child molesters' hands. God hates abortion doctors' hands. He hates them. He hates them. He hates them. You heard this stuff on the news lately? Have y'all heard the news lately? I didn't have any stories about these babies that were trying to be abortions, and then they come find out they was alive, and the baby was aborted, but then it was alive, and then they killed it, and they're getting them for murder? That is the dumbest, hypocritical thing. You say you're mad. Man can't do much preaching though, he's mad. And I am mad about that. That ain't right. You know that ain't right. That's murder, brother. Listen, if it's a murder here, it's murder here. If that baby is born and it's laying here, arms and legs moving, crying, and they kill it, that's murder. And it's all over the news. They're fussing about it on the news right now. Listen, the Bible says God hates a man's hand that shed innocent blood. He hates them. God hates them. God hates the hands of the abortion doctor. You know why abortion's so popular? Because a girl's so sorry she wants to get rid of her own baby. She's without natural affection. She wants to party. She wants to get drunk. She wants to sleep. She don't want to lose her figure. She don't want stretch marks so that she can seduce a bunch of other guys. And brother, she wants to kill that baby and pay a doctor to murder it with his own hand. And God said he hated them hands. He hates those hands. You can tell him I said so. He hates those hands. God hates those hands that kill them innocent babies. They can't stand up for themselves. Old people can't stand up for themselves. Little kids can't stand up for themselves. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Listen, that partial birth abortion, which is legal in this country, where they take an instrument, the baby is born. Just like that little baby Caitlin's holding right there. Just like that. Except just a little bit bigger. Stand up and hold that little thing out. Turn around, honey. Show all these people that. Just like that right there. Just like that. Just as precious. Stand up and hold that thing around here for a minute. Just as precious. Just as good. Just as cute. God loves it. Just as much. That's a person. Just like me and you was a person. That's an individual. He made up its hands and shed innocent blood. Number four, the Bible said God hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Just sits around and thinks up some old evil stuff. Over in Sweden, they almost all become atheists. The morals have gone to nearly zero. They break in churches, tie up the church, put a black mass sign on the guest book, and sign Satan has been here, and put blood on the altar and mock the things of God. There were about a bunch of teenagers thought they'd be funny one night, and they went downtown and they took us, there was a two-way stop, and they took a stop sign down, trying to be cute. These boys took a stop sign down. You know how you do stuff like that when you're a teenager? Say, man, it's going to be cool. We'll take a stop sign now. And they took it, and somebody come flying down the door. There wasn't no stop sign, and a car come like that, and they killed somebody, the kid. That ain't funny. That ain't a joke. You're messing around with people's lives. Boys, get out here and get drunk, start smoking pot, can't get a car like that. That ain't funny, brother. You're messing with people's lives. Say amen, brother. Wicked imaginations. Listen, these video games that are wicked, up half of the stuff on the internet, pornography, all of a sudden, it's wicked imagination. And God hates it. Do you hear me tonight? God hates it. He said he hated wicked imagination. I heard about some of the boys, I think it's down in Florida, 9 years old. They raped this little girl. 9-year-old boys. Raped a little girl and killed her because of the perverted magazines and videos that their parents had in their house. I'm telling you, that's wicked imagination, and God hates that.
God hates it. God hates wicked imagination. You know these people, they don't do nothing all the time, sit around and think of just something wicked. I know, brother, we all got wicked flesh. I know that. I ain't stupid. I ain't claiming to be Mr. Hopley. But I'm telling you, if all you do is sit around and think about wicked, about people and evil and think the worst of people, you need to get your heart cleaned up. Everything don't have to be a dirty joke. Wicked imagination. Number five. That be swift in running to mischief. Busy people have no time to be busy bodies. What this scripture means is, if everybody said, hey, there's a fight over there, let's go, let's go, let's go, fight, let's go, where's it at? Fight, fight, come on, look, fight! God hates your feet. You see, Brother Danny, when you see a fight break out, do you want to look at it? Yes. It's nature. It's human nature. Of course we do. But if something bad happens, I mean relishing it. I'm not talking about a boxing match on TV. I'm not talking about sports. I'm talking about people just love to see something bad happen to somebody. That's why Jerry Springer, that's why I'm saying people love just to see people humiliated. Man, I feel sorry for them people over there. I think they're exploiting them. I think it's wrong the way they get them poor. They get people on there that's got two teeth and, you know, and don't know nothing. They don't know. They think I'm a movie star. And they just laugh at them the whole service. That's wicked as a devil. I mean, they are dumb and they are hillbilly and they are ignorant. Man, you shouldn't get them on national TV and make a big joke out of them. Feet that be swift and run into mischief. Always, I guess the best interpretation of this would be people who get on the internet and dig and dig and dig and try to find out something bad about somebody so they can tell. And they claim to be Christians. They don't do nothing for the Lord. They don't witness. They never. My daughter, Kay, said, Daddy, she said, Daddy, they're saying, when the Tabs was here at the youth rally, she said, there's people on the internet saying something awful about Brother Tab. And I said, forget about it. Don't worry about it.
And she said, it's awful, Daddy. She sent me pictures on my phone and stuff, and I sent Brother Tab a text. And I said, I heard there's some fool giving you a hard time on the internet, Brother Tab. You must be doing something good. Hang in there. Preach it. There's something sick and perverted about a person's mind that tries to go back. That's something he did when he was 17 years old. Who cares what he might have done when he was 17? You probably wasn't an angel when you were 17. And I wasn't either. You better watch your little long-tongued hypocritical mind, brother. And you better get your heart right with God. Somebody trying to serve God, keep your nose out of their business and live right. Yes, sir. If you dug up everybody's past, you wouldn't have no confidence in nobody. And I wouldn't have none in you if I knew everything you'd ever done in your life. Say amen right there. I've even heard people say, well, if you let that preacher come, I ain't coming. I read something about him on the internet. Lord, let's put your life on the internet. Amen. There's bad stuff about me on the internet. You think I like it? No. You think it hurts my feelings? Yes. You think that's going to stop me? No. God knows the truth. And brother, I can go on anyway. Let them run their mouth. I can outrun them by the grace of God. Them jump and wait and swallow a snake, brother. Come back up with the belly ache for all I care. If anybody ain't got enough guts to write something on there and sign it and put their name to it, they don't deserve your time to they give Jack Hiles a fit and he's dead and gone. Man, I'd like to smack some of them and the Lord would bless me if I did. He would. In the name of Jesus, smack some sense into them. Somebody said, well, this guy got on and he said that Jack Howell done more for God while he was asleep. Some of that crowd did their whole life put together. Yeah. Amen. Sure, he might have a problem. I don't know. I know one thing. Ain't none of your business. Yeah. Or mine neither. Amen. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Well, this will be good on radio one. Number 6. I'm hurrying. A false witness that speaketh lies. These are people who protect the guilty and destroy the innocent. These are those who testify in a court to try to get a crook off the hook. Amen? Tell a lie to cross-examination. Emmanuel, tell you how honest people used to be. And boy, I read this, it convicted me. Because I thought about what I'd do if this happened. Emmanuel Kant. Back years ago, people was honest, man. I mean, they was honest. We learned how to crook and hook and crook, slide and little here and little there and cheat a little here. But back years ago, people was honest. I mean, a man's word was his bond. I studied church history by Dr. Ruckman's tape, and he dove all the way back from the time of the apostles up to now. And he said there was a time in this country back during the days of the Cumberland Valley Revival, who it swept through North and South Carolina and Virginia and up through here, Kentucky and all that. They said a man could walk in a bank and say, I need to borrow $1,000. And they said, what's your collateral? He said, I belong to the Methodist Church. They'd loan him $1,000 because he's belonging to the Methodist Church or a Baptist Church. That's what it meant. It meant something. I dare you to go to the bank tomorrow. Tell them you want to borrow $50,000. And they say, what do you got for collateral? I'm a Baptist. So is Jimmy Carter. That's what they'd say. We have lowered the standard of not with really no confidence in us, though. False witness that speaketh lies. Let me tell you a story. Emmanuel Kant. Some robbers came and got him. And these robbers said, give me all your money. And I've thought about this. I've thought about this if this ever happened to me when I was traveling or something. And these robbers said, give me all your money. Well, he took all his money out and gave it to them, and they let him go, and they went on down the road. And suddenly, he remembered that he had 2 gold pieces in his pocket. And he chased them guys down and said, wait a minute. Told you a lie. I had this. That's honesty. You say, well, that's crazy. It does sound crazy. But he said, I lied to them guys. I thought about that. I thought if I was traveling, I'm going to put like $20 in my pocket and leave the rest of it in here in the car. And that way, like if I go in here and somebody robs me, I said, look, it's all I got. It is all I've got on me. You see how we've learned how to do? You see how we've trained ourselves to whatever. A false witness that speaketh lie. And sometimes it hurts to tell the truth. It does. Your wife say, where'd that money go? Well, I had to spend it here and I had to spend it all of it. Well, yeah. And you know you went and blowed it somewhere else. Good night, people. It sounds like McCall Kirksey's in here. I ain't fussing at you. I'm meaner than yous are. How do you think I think of all this stuff? That shows how crooked this flesh is. It'll wiggle. This flesh will wiggle when we. I do. It'll wiggle. It'll jerk. It'll dart. It'll hit. It'll do. It'll leave out part. It'll leave. I marriage counsel all the time. I have marriage counsel all the time. I'll tell you. Here's what I do. We'll both go in there and sit down. So if you want marriage counseling, here's the way it goes. We both go in there and sit down. All right, what's wrong? Everything. I say, okay, let's do this one at a time. She goes out and sits right there. I talk to him now. All right, tell me what's wrong. Okay, he tells me. He goes out. He sits right there. She comes in. All right, you tell me what's wrong. And honest to the Lord, you'd think he was talking two different marriages. To hear his side and her side. And both of them telling the truth according to them. And they probably are. But what we've done is we've figured out a way to tell the truth but leave out parts that incriminate us, which is really a lie, but we don't really say the lie, but we make it look like it's this, but it ain't. Man, that's quiet in here. And we're all guilty of that. It's like when you're little, you learn how to do that when you're a little kid. Everybody's cutting up, wiping out, right? And the teacher comes walking around, and you grab your pencil and start writing. It's just the way we are. We're all like that. And you are, and I am. Well, learn how to be honest. Some man told me, he said, well, somebody's not too honest for their own good. You don't have to go around and blab. I mean, I don't think you ought to. If you sin this week, don't stand up and tell us. Just confess it to the Lord. Forget, I heard about this guy one night. This guy one night, he got up in church and started saying, I've done this, and I've lusted, and I've done that. Went home, and his wife left him. You don't have to air out your dirty laundry. Private sins could be confessed private. Public sins will be confessed public. If everybody knows about it, confess it to the church and get right. Nobody but you and God knows about it, get it right and go on and serve God. Last thing I'm done. God hates he that soweth discord among the brethren. I've already said this. Sowing seeds of antagonism and suspicion. I heard about a man, little old country church fighting. I'll just skip the rest of it. The little country church was fighting, and they had this one deacon that said, well, I'll tell you one thing. We'll run that preacher. I know a preacher. I know a preacher not long ago got voted out of his church by about 15 members standing out in the parking lot. Wouldn't even come in. He had 7 on Sunday night and 15 out in the parking lot, and they had a vote and voted him out in the parking lot. One of his men told him that day, he said, you're going to be there for the vote tonight, ain't you, Pastor? And he said, vote? He said, what are we voting on? He said, you. And they go around, they was going around to people's house. You know my philosophy, and I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. I preach this in every church I go to if the Lord lays it on my heart. There should never, ever in a church be a meeting about the pastor without the pastor. That's bad ethics, brother. And it's anti, and it's sneaky, and it's low down. If you're going to have a meeting about the pastor, it shouldn't be without the pastor. You ain't got enough guts to say something to somebody's face. You shouldn't be drinking, having people at your house telling them bad stuff to them. Say amen. Not that.
Amen.
They start having these little meetings. We don't like this and we don't like that. And he did this and he did that. He had a camp meeting. He had me and John Mitchell and a bunch of us come up there and preach. They got old. Them people about died because they spent money. So they said, we're going to have a boat. We're boating you out. He said, I didn't know nothing about no boat. And they drawed out the bylaws. Nobody could find them. Nobody seen the bylaws in 30 years. And when it comes right down to it, bylaws don't overgo the Word of God. He said, what? Like, I'm like Lester Roloff. They said, where's your bylaws? He said, King James Version. That's his bylaws. He said, and they voted him out 15-7 and kicked him out of his church. And he had people in there crying, Pastor, we love you. Listen, man don't even come to church. He ain't got no business saying nothing. You got some of them little churches? Well, they'll have 40 people every Sunday. And boy, when they find out they're going to vote on a preacher, there'll be 175 that day. Grandma, people ain't been there. Dead people vote. Lord, it's really? Those are crooks. The Bible said, he that soweth discord among the brethren. I'm going to say something, I'm through. Y'all can come on. I'd rather build meth labs for a living than to go around in churches turning Christians against each other and starting trouble in God's house. I'd rather answer to God as a cocaine dealer than people that's going around splitting churches and hurting God's people and God's work. He that soweth discord among brethren. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name.